Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting for the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. And Andrea, I think we need to call roll.
Yes, Member Lee?
Here.
Chairman Iketa?
Present.
Member Barnidge?
Here.
Member Brunet?
Here.
And Member Hagman?
Here.
And I'll note that Member Guthrie is absent.
All right, thank you. So this is a time when we ask for any public comment from the audience. And seeing none, we will move on to the approval of minutes from the September meeting.
I would move, if there's no additions, I would move for approval.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I'll be abstaining since I missed the September meeting. Thank you.
Noted. Thank you.
And now we have an operations report.
Actually, Chairman Iketa, we have approval of the 2018 meeting schedule. So that's on page 8 of the packet.
I tried to skip one already. So what we need to do is approve the meeting schedule for 2018. For 2018, and
So this schedule has both the Zone 3 Technical Advisory Committee meeting schedule as well as this advisory committee schedule. And I will note that the TAC has been moved to the second Wednesday of each month.
And those are at 9:30 now instead of 9.
Correct. And still City of Arroyo Grande.
I would move for approval of the 2018 meeting schedule.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Any discussion? Do we need a roll call on this?
No, you don't need a roll
call.
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Passed unanimously.
Thank you. And now on to the operations report.
Yes.
So as of November 15th, the Lopez Lake elevation was 492.44 feet. The storage is 26,409 acre feet. The lake is at 53% capacity. The rainfall to date, which would be since July 1st of this year, is 0.29 inches. Our plant production is 5 million gallons per day. Our downstream releases are 3.5 million gallons per day, and we are not taking state water at the time.
All right. Any questions about the operations report?
Just a quick question. So I saw a press release sent out regarding a change in treatment. Mm-hmm. So is that covered in another item? Or is this a good spot to highlight that?
We could talk about that if you'd like, but it's not included in this packet. All of the Zone 3 agencies did receive the news release, and I saw the City of Arroyo Grande posted a news release themselves on their website.
I think if you want some clarification, maybe Jill could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure she could give that information to you.
Jill Ogren, Public Works, Utilities Division. In terms of every year, when the State Water Project traditionally shuts down to do their own maintenance, that gives us the opportunity to what we do call move to free chlorine. It's a different type of disinfectant, and it allows for a little bit better cleaning out of the pipes and the distribution system. But we are required to let everybody know that we are changing this disinfectant because it can have different kinds of – it can change the odor of your water, and so we're required to put out that public notice. It doesn't change the water quality in any way. It's just a manner of way that we clean out, so to speak, the biofilm that accumulates under the other kind of disinfectant. And last year, the State Water Project did not shut down because we were in a drought and everybody needed the water. So we haven't actually done this procedure for 2 years. So it was a good thing that we were able to do it this year.
Okay. And so is the plan that when the state water turns back on, that's the change back to the treatments?
Yes.
Disinfectant?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. And that'll be sometime
November
20th. Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
If I could, Mr. Chair, just an operational note that may be of interest to constituents is the water purveyors will likely do some line flushing as well that we haven't done traditionally due to the drought. And so you may get some input on that for, folks saying, hey, what's going on? Are we wasting water? So that's, again, to flush the lines, get the biology, so to speak, in contact with this free chlorine to help clean the pipes out and just move. It's a good thing to do. It does use water to do that, but it also is good for the water quality.
And then I have one more question, Barbara.
Go ahead.
Andrea, mm-hmm. How full was Lopez at our last meeting? So we're 53%.
I wanted to say
now.
It was 58%.
Okay. And was our last meeting 2 months ago? Roughly 2 months ago?
We were at 57.3% capacity, and that meeting was on September 21st.
Okay.
So it wasn't that far off.
Okay. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So would you guys say as your districts or cities that people are still conserving water, or because are people still think we're in a drought?
Our water use is still very low, almost. I'm not going to just go by, well, maybe Bill knows, but I know that I asked about a month ago Shane Taylor, and it was pretty noteworthy that they're absolutely still conserving, it's been hot a couple months ago, so I was really pleased because I was, concerned that people would just forget about it. So hopefully it's a habitual thing and mm-hmm. it carries on, so.
Would you say the same in Grover?
And we found the same thing in Grover. We did see a little bit of called conservation fatigue. Mm-hmm. So when we kind of relaxed some of our drought declaration, we're still at a stage three, which is a voluntary, but we were up around the 30% conservation mark, and we're probably now in the 20 to 25% over the 2013 standard. So still, mm-hmm. It's become kind of the new normal, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But
perfect.
There is still.
Yeah, we had a report on that, I think, last month, and there's been a slight uptick in usage, but it's still year to year, still very much, in trending with, conservation efforts. And it's something that we continue to even stress, at the mm-hmm. board, just, it's how important this next upcoming rain season is, so, which I know we'll be talking about a little bit, but yeah.
And it was interesting that on our last information items that we got, there were still, they always list how many toilet retrofits and the retrofits, mm-hmm. and there's still a fair amount of people still doing that. So it's good news.
All right. Thank you. All right. So moving on to item six.
We're actually at the projected reservoir levels, which Jill represents.
I'm still on 5B.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you, Andrea, again?
It's still me this time.
All right.
So if you want to look at page 9 of your packet, you can see the projected reservoir levels. The reservoir, the key on this is really to look down at the bottom in the blue lines where it says projected precipitation. And we get this from a website called longrangeweather.com, which is one of the only websites that actually will put a number mm-hmm. to per month. Most of them will give you a percentage, but not an actual figure. So that's why we use these numbers. Obviously, if you've been following the weather, like last weekend, we were supposed to get like 4 inches, and obviously we're not hitting any of that. But based on this longrangeweather.com, you would see that in the month of November we would have 2.11 inches. So if we do get any of that kind of rainfall, you can see that, we would be on, we've got a nice projected runoff from that. And I think that's probably accurate. The way that we are in the process of revising this chart, though, to make it a little bit simpler. It's been evolving, It started out as a tool to help us predict when the reservoir might overtop, and then we changed all the data to make it help us when it was going to go dry, and now we are back somewhere in between. So we've been looking at the data, and I would expect that in the next couple months we will have a different kind of chart that's probably more accurate for our area. So, but at the moment, it's looking like we're going to fill, or we're going to get, you know, back up to 50% or beyond 50%. So maybe 60, 75% at this point. But this is as far out as they will project. Okay. And on that note, I think it was just barely sprinkling, which equates to there. I think this weekend was, it started out with 0.2, like a quarter to three quarters of an inch. And then today we heard it was a tenth. Mm-hmm. And now it's sprinkling, so there you go.
So a functional question on the graph, Jill.
Yes.
Sorry. That's good, since I stumbled through most of those words. We'll try that.
No one knows.
functional question is, it looks like with this amount of rain, there's a expectation that the ground is fairly saturated and most of that would flow off. So are we seeing a potential less absorption by the ground this year than at the end of the drought last year? Is that what this expectation may show?
Actually, that's one of the things that we're going to fix on this graph, that you bring that up, because it was devised to look at periods in time where we had dry weather and try to estimate how much would actually turn into runoff and not. And so if you look on this chart, somebody noticed that if you look at the period of 12, 14, 2016 to the 2017, the shape of the graph is exactly what we're predicting, because it's looking at that same time frame and saying that that would be equivalent conditions, and we don't know that actually to be so. Mm. So that's why we're revising this to help us be a little bit more accurate.
Okay. And these and the rainfall assumptions, projections, those, that's a total, correct, at the end? Those aren't added together. Those aren't in that, by that time period, we've had that much rain, and then
no,
we add that.
Each, that would be each month.
Oh, that's each.
Yeah, so you would add that up.
Oh, okay.
And yet in January last year we had 14.4 inches of rain.
Yeah.
So if we get a month like that, then that is a cumulative of the other 3 months together.
Right. Yeah. So it is basically, I would say, the long and short of this is it's very hard to predict. So we're going to spend some time actually trying to devise our own prediction tool, and then we will bring that back to you on this with a different looking type graph.
Jim Gehring's always been our historian, you know, and I wish he was here. He would tell us that he's been keeping records for decades about the creek flow above Lopez and how many inches of rain it takes before that the creeks start to flow. I don't know the exact figure, but he said that when it hit that figure last year, the creeks didn't flow for the first time that he can remember, because it was so dry. So I don't think we're trying to do a guesstimate, I think is what you're saying, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
and we're hoping that we can get it. If we have the time to, like, really review the data, we now have two very significant droughts to help balance out our information. Prior to that, we only had one significant drought, and we had quite a few actually wet years. And so I think that when we start looking at the last drought plus the other one, and we take that time frame, maybe 1987 forward, we're going to see, using that data as opposed to all the way back to 1969 when the reservoir was initially built and it filled in 1 year. Mm-hmm. That's an outlier sort of in the terms of averages. So
looking at this chart, this 49,000, that is full? That's the full reservoir? Yep.
49,388 acre feet is the amount that we use as full capacity.
Okay. Any other questions for Jill? Thank you. You might have to stay up there, though, I think.
I know.
All right, we're going to move on to the information items.
Yeah.
All right.
First quarter budget status.
Yes, I'm standing in here for Christy Smith, your finance accountant for Zone 3, who is ill tonight. So from your packet, I wanted just to highlight a couple of things. As you know, the budget is made up of three categories, routine O&M, non-routine O&M, and capital outlay. If you look at the sum total of that, at this point in the year, we are 25% of the fiscal year, and our total expenses for the whole budget are at 18%. So we're a little under on our spending if you were to combine all three groups, categories. Routine O&M, that's made up of all our usual expenses, chemicals, labor to run the plant, all the normal operating costs. We're at 25% of the fiscal year, obviously, and we're at 24% of the annual budget. So we're basically right on target there. The non-routine O&M is at 6%. So we're under there, and some of that has to do with the fact that a lot of what the budget is in that category is what we call carry forward on, and that is made up a lot of the HCP. About $250,000 of our available budget is sort of rollover from a previous year, along with about $118,000 from pigging, which we have been rolling forward as well. And under the capital outlay, we're at about 3% of the annual budget, although we're at 25% of the fiscal year. And that is due to the fact that most of our projects, the first 3 months of the year, are spent getting RFPs together and proposals and putting them out to bid so that the actual expenditure on those projects probably won't be reflected in the budget until maybe March. So what you're looking at is, you know, work that was done between July and the end of September, and in that during that time frame, we generally are we're working on scopes of work and putting things out for the various projects. So that's not unusual to see a low number this early in the quarter. And I don't have anything else. The graphs that are attached basically reflect the summary that I just told you. They're just a little graphical depiction of the each of those categories and their expenditures. Are there any questions?
I guess I'll just note under the financial consideration, looks like all the agencies are current on payments, and so everybody's good from that perspective in payables or to the county. Is that correct?
Correct.
The only question I had, too, was regarding the pH suppression project. I know we've had updates on that over the past, you know, 8 months maybe.
Yeah.
Is that actually looking to begin this coming year?
So I'll give you an update on that. It is currently functioning, working. We had put together what we called a temporary pH suppression project.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we put that together out at the plant. We were able to make that work so well that it may become our permanent solution.
Oh.
We were able to put the temporary fix together for much less than the permanent. However, at this point, I did not want to close out that fund request because we are in a wait-and-see mode. Mm-hmm. We've been using it for about maybe 6 months, maybe longer, And so far, it's working fantastic, and everybody is happy with the way it's functioning. But we really do need to give it at least a year, maybe a little bit more, so we can see how it operates throughout an entire year, seasonally. And on the other hand, we may also might want to make some tweaks to the system if we do decide to keep it and not move to a different type of, a more permanent type of pH suppression system. So that's why we're carrying that money forward instead of, you know, either putting it back into reserves for another use. At this point, where I'm holding on to it because I'm not sure yet where we're going with it. Sure. But at the moment, the fix that we did put in is working really well.
Excellent. Thank you.
Joe, that pH suppression, is it still needed as much since we have more water in the lake and the water quality has come up, and or was it more of it was an emergency kind of one with the water level went way down?
Right, and we were having a lot of significant issues, and I'm not a real great on chemistry, but I do know that some of the hardness that we were experiencing has been seasonal. We've always had hardness problems with the water. Sometimes it has to do with the temperature of the water. It can have do with the time of the year. It can have, I mean, there's a lot of factors involved. So that's another reason for us watching it over an entire year cycle of hydrology so we can see what does that do. But it is still needed. We are still using it, and you could almost illustrate it in terms of your house. You know, if you have hard water in your house, long-term use of something that softens the water is good for your pipes. And over the long term, whether your water is hard one day or not, in general, it's good for your system. And that's sort of the way this pH suppression is. I mean, whether we absolutely have to have it right this minute, in general, it's helping all of our equipment stay, not get the calcium buildup and all the other issues that we've had. So, in general, it's good for our system. Whether I would consider it an emergency right now, I don't know.
We didn't have anything before?
We did not. Hmm. We would. There are other ways that you can, my understanding is there are other methods that we use to sort of deal with that hardness. We did more cleanings. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just ways around it that we sort of dealt with. But this has so far been so much better, and we basically came to a point where there was so much maintenance we were having to do. Either the water was so much worse than we had ever experienced. I'm not sure exactly, but I know that things have been much, much better since then. So it was a good thing.
Good deal. Any other questions for Joe?
Just a comment that this was put together as an emergency by county staff, and I think credit to Craig Kessler, the chief plant operator out there, that he was thinking about it more in terms of maybe a more permanent solution that was significantly less than some of the other plans or preliminary engineering work that was done. So I think kudos to the – we're fast to maybe criticize the county, but in this case, I think we got to give them some kudos for saving a significant amount of money and looking forward, forward thinking as far as putting in the system in. So,
yeah, our plant staff did a really great job of – we had our internal Dave Spiegel helped put a lot of it together, and then with the help of operations staff who actually physically did the work and then working together to kind of plan check each other's ideas and get like something that was very safe, economical, and efficient was it really was a great teamwork effort, and we're super happy with its outcome.
So any other questions for Jill on the first quarter budget or comments?
No. I will say one thing. Christy did say that if you do have any questions, something that comes up later or whatever, feel free to email her and she'd be happy to respond to you.
Thanks, Jill. Next is our climate update.
Okay, so according to the U.S. Drought Monitor, we are still in abnormally dry conditions, so it looks almost like the exact same map as last time we met in September. But on the next page, we go on to the NOAA temperature forecast. Looks like things are improving for, or changing, I should say. So for our area, we are expecting below average temperatures for the month of November, for the most part. Part of the county is still kind of in, you know, it could be above average, it could be average or below average, but looks like temperatures might be a little bit cooler. And then moving on to the NOAA precipitation forecast, it looks like we might receive above average rainfall for this time of the year. So, you know, like Jill mentioned earlier, we were supposed to be getting some rain last weekend. We were supposed to get some tonight. But hopefully with this information and with the long-range planning information she offered, we will get some rainfall. And I did hear from a colleague today that we were supposed to be getting two storms, one from, I think, the north, one from the south, and they're supposed to meet up. So I don't know. I'll see it when I believe it. But this is good news. It looks more promising than it has been looking over the past several months. Do you have any questions on that? Again, if Mr. Gehring were here, yeah, I'm sure he would have a lot to add to this discussion.
I just had a comment that I just, the latest weather report shows 80 degrees for Thanksgiving Day. So,
yeah, it's hard to believe that the holidays are here when it's really warm outside.
Yeah, well, these are just forecasts. We're not going to hold you to it.
Okay, so Jill is up next with an update on the Lopez Spillway.
I believe in your packet there's a letter there that we received on October 16th, and it's good news. Department of Water Resources approved our work plan for our Lopez Spillway assessment. And with that letter, we have begun to develop a scope of work that we would be able to put out to bid. That scope of work would entail some sort of what we call a desktop assessment of our of the plans that we have of the spillway, maintenance reports, some of the kind of things you can do basically from a desktop to determine kind of the condition of the spillway, along with maybe some what we call non-destructive testing. We are hoping to put that out around the beginning of January, out to bid. We're estimating, it's a little hard to estimate, but just sort of an order of magnitude for the group, although I, you know, don't hold me to it, could be anywhere from 50,000 to 100,000, and that might, some of that work might also go into the destructive testing, you know, if something comes out of the desktop assessment that indicates we need to look a little further below, you know, the slab. We do have a lot of cores, and because we did do a significant amount of work during the time we did that seismic retrofit, kind of our initial feelings is that we might not have to do any of that destructive, but, you know, we want to leave it wide open just in case. So that's where we're at right now, developing a scope of work for it to be put out on the streets, hopefully in January, maybe have the person, whoever gets it, get started in February, March, something like that. And let's see. Yeah, I think that's about it right now. That's where we're at.
Any questions or comments?
I have a question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Jill, so the 50 to 100,000, that is going to include the desktop assessment and perhaps maybe non-destructive testing if we need it. Mm-hmm. And then if everything looks good, then that's the end?
There'll probably be some kind of report that would have to be, you know, generated out of that. Some kind of,
I think that for the cost is what I mean. Just if everything looks good, if we don't have to
I guess that would be a best case scenario, but yeah, I wouldn't count on that.
Okay.
I mean, I think what I'm saying is that we're feeling pretty good. Like we're not going to maybe necessarily have to spend a lot of money on repairs, but I wouldn't definitely not want to tell you that out of the assessment, we're not going to have to do some kind of work.
So what I mean with the 52, I'm just asking, that's really all the investigation cost.
Right.
And then if there's obviously repairs, that's just a whole nother
exactly.
category. But just right. as far as telling us, does everything look okay, and to get a
or
report
not.
To,
yeah.
right, or not. Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Mark sounds pretty confident, Hutchinson, that the inspection is going to come back pretty positively.
Yeah. I think, you know, just personally, I think that we are a little bit ahead of the game because we had done studies back in the 90s. Then we took action on those things in 2000. And at that time, there was a lot. We were much more into the electronic age, so we have as-builts and, you know, we have a lot better documentation than I think maybe some of the other dams around the state that are, you know, they were built probably in the 60s, same thing, but maybe haven't been touched since then. So we, you know, the fact that we actually had to do a project in the 2000s, I think, gives us a big step forward compared to some of the other dams in the state. So,
any other comments? With the technology that we have nowadays, they have to drill into the concrete all over the place to find out if it's stable?
I'm not a good person to ask that. I know loosely. I think there are ways, they call them non-destructive testing methods, and I do know there's technology out there where we would not have to necessarily do that.
Yeah.
But whether that applies to our particular situation, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't know the answer to that. That would be for probably a more in-depth. I can bring Dave Spiegel or John Hollenbeck has been helping us on this. So.
All right. Thank you. All right. Any public comment or comments from the other board members?
Mr. Chairman, I do have a comment to add. Okay. Our Deputy Director, Mark Hutchinson, did indicate that the Lopez Dam does have the highest rating from the DSOD, which is satisfactory, but it is the highest that they give. So,
good point.
Just
I forgot that. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So I think, Jill, you're still up on our capital projects update.
Yeah. So in your packet, I can just briefly go through where we are with our current capital projects. As I mentioned, mostly what's happening right now has to do with developing RFPs to put various studies and things out on the street. However, in terms of actual items that we're completing, we're in the process of purchasing an HCL tank. That is just another piece of equipment that will help our temporary pH suppression function better and be safer, because our employees will not have to handle the HCL, which is a hazardous material, as frequent. So that's a good thing. That's going to be done here in the next week. Our equipment audit and replacement is ongoing, and we will continue to make progress on that. The spillway assessment is what we just discussed. The Lopez Dam and Terminal Dam hazard classification. This is a high priority item. We were told that we need to have these inundation maps completed by January, I believe it is, of 2018. So we are quickly. We just got the results back from RFP we put out to do new inundation maps for the dam as well as the terminal dam. And so we'll be moving forward on that quickly. And we also have to complete an emergency action plan. These are all things that came out of the DSO from the Department of Water Resources and kind of the fallout from the Oroville disaster. The structural assessment of terminal reservoir, we put that RFP out and we're reviewing proposals. Same with what we're calling the fault zone assessment. We're reviewing proposals from that as well. Interesting to note that when we had a job walk through for both of those items on the same day. We had 19 people, 19 companies come to the dam to take it from as far away as Pennsylvania.
Wow.
We were all a little bit surprised. So there was a large group and gathering standing on the top of the Lopez Dam on some, I think it was a Tuesday or something. So a lot of people interested in this work, and probably because this is, you know, other entities throughout California are going to be needing the same kind of work. So maybe we're just one of the first ones out the door at this point. The equipment storage, that's to put a large, like a more enhanced garage, I'll call it that, out at the water treatment plant, which they really need for all their equipment. And a lot of it is sitting outside, and we have a tractor, and we're getting a Vector truck, so we need to get something to help protect our assets there. And the Lopez water treatment safety upgrades, we're still working on those, implementing the changes that came out of a report that we did last year. And then upcoming projects on the backside, things that we haven't started, but they are definitely, our goal is to complete them all this fiscal year, is to install pressure transducers upstream of each of the turnouts. We are in the process of working on getting a cathodic protection survey going and rebuilding some membrane feed pumps, looking at our domestic and fire flow tanks at the site, at the actual water treatment plant, and replacing an ammonia analyzer, which is a piece of laboratory equipment. So those are all things that we will be pursuing over the next 9 months. Does anybody have any questions about any of that?
Questions, anybody?
Do have a quick question. It's not necessarily on the list. Actually, probably two questions. So I seem to recall that there was going to be some paving out at Lopez plant. Has that occurred yet, or is that still in process?
Yep, that's completed, so I took it off the list. Okay. Yes, we finished the paving of the water treatment plant, and we addressed some drainage issues as well with that paving, so that was a nice fix for the plant.
Okay. And then you alluded to the HCP earlier in the budget discussion. Any updates on that moving forward, or is there a plan? Do we anticipate an update on that in the next, at the next meeting, or in a subsequent meeting of near future?
Well, the current status is it's the actual HCP itself and the work we've been doing on it has been on hold for quite some time because we sort of shifted gears into looking at some modeling that might help the contractors evaluate whether they wanted to make some amendments to their water contracts, looking at different kind of models. And so the consultant that we are using for the HCP and who was helping us model downstream releases, we added on a task to his contract to help us do this contract change, or calling it contract change modeling. So that's what we're working on right now. We just got the first results. The TAC is, you know, very involved in all the results, and they're sort of driving that process. And we determined that we really needed to know the outcome of that modeling before we go further into the HCP. So while we're not exactly working on the HCP, we're working on a part of it that's going to help us move forward on the HCP. So, we're not exactly working on the HC, but we're working on a component of it that we need to decipher first.
Right. Okay. And as you were saying that, I remembered about the modeling efforts. So those are starting to come to a conclusion
conclusion, or we're just now sort of getting off the ground in a way. But so far it's been very positive, the results. So I'm looking forward to finding out some more information. It's turning out to, I saw on the agenda that for quite some time we've had an item called Safe Yield, review of the Safe Yield, and sort of unexpectedly, as we've been doing this modeling of the contract change modeling, we've actually had some results that seemed to indicate that our safe yield is good under the current, based on the entitlements and the allocations and the amount downstream, you know, we're pretty right on. So that's just loosely. That hasn't actually been confirmed. But at first glance, we were, all of us looked and went, oh, so this sort of says that our safe yield is good. Well, that was a positive thing that came out of that. But
good. So can I ask you a question about safe yield, even though it's not really an agenda item?
Sure, I'll try to answer it.
Well, I just want to know what the definition of the safe yield is. It's the amount of water that's in the lake that is. I'm not positive what safe yield means.
Well, it's the amount of water that can be safely used each and every year without your reservoir going below your minimum pool. Mm-hmm. So taking into account that hydrology changes from year to year. Mm-hmm. And so when the safe yield was first determined, back in, I believe, the first calculations that I've seen, they did it in 1958 mm-hmm. because they thought they were going to build this dam in 1969. So they look at historical hydrology. So they were using hydrology as far back as, you know, I think it went back to the 40s. They didn't have a lot. And so I think that might be one of the reasons why we've been wondering, you know, is safe yield correct when you base it on this, you know, hydrology. So reevaluating, and we have done that over the years, I believe.
Okay.
You know, if Jim were here, he knows like that. But I think we did look at it once. Stetson was another consultant that looked at it, and I don't know the results of it, but we have looked at it from time to time. So what's interesting is the model that our consultant developed is based on the hydrology since 1969. Like looking at the rainfall and the temperatures and the evaporation and inflow, all that, and then modeling if everybody took out their entitlement every year, and every year we released, you know, 4,200 acre feet downstream, what does the reservoir look like? Well, it never went dry, and we never went below minimum pool. So that was sort of a sign that the safe yield that was calculated of 8,730 was correct, based on the hydrology for the last X years. So,
I think that I had indicated that I wanted to see this on an agenda item because my council had said when we were in the dire straits emergency that is the safe yield really still the safe yield because this is such unprecedented drought. Even though we have had droughts in the past, Jim Gehring always says that if you look at how often Lopez spilled, and how now it's just much different than it was 20, 30 years ago. So that's good news if we get, but I think the information would be good to make us feel more comfortable because it's so, I don't know if we've ever really been here. I mean, I guess we've been here, but not quite for as long, drought for as long. So.
Yeah. And it just seems, I in my mind, I keep thinking that the safe yield changes as the, depending on how much water is in the dam. I keep thinking the word safe in my head, and I keep thinking, well, if the dam's 90% full, I feel pretty safe. But that's not exactly what safe yield
is. Well, it looks at it over time.
Yeah.
It's not each and every year. You look at a period of time, mm-hmm. and what can you expect? Mm-hmm. What can you expect the reservoir to do if you use the water the way that you're using it, and based on what we anticipate inflows to be and, you know, rainfall. And you can only do that by looking at your history.
Yeah.
So now we have another model that shows history since, you know, rainfall and hydrology since 1969, which includes the latest drought as well. Mm-hmm. And it's still, it's looking like the reservoir would not go below minimum pool.
Mm-hmm. What was the figure you just mentioned?
8730. Yeah, that's 4530, which belongs to the contracting mm-hmm. agencies, and a full 4200 downstream. So,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. I know we jumped ahead. We're on future agenda items now.
That's okay.
See how we skipped to the end?
We got Jill here. We're trying to make use of her. So.
So on that note, would you like to see this item kept where it's at on the agenda? Just when we come back with confirmation that indeed that the 8730
would be a good idea. Marsha's not here. Jim's not here. I think he could add a lot.
I think so, too.
We could also possibly put it on the agenda when we get a little farther along in our modeling, you know, because he is involved in giving his input on the model. So I think that that would be once he, you know, we have some more discussions, which hopefully I think in the month of December we're going to all try to get together and look at that. So your next meeting is when? January?
January. Mm-hmm.
We might be able to bring it back. We might be able to bring some kind of information on that. I haven't really had a chance to talk to Jim too much about it, nor has he had a chance to really look at the model to see if he agrees and the assumptions. So.
Yeah, our next meeting is January 22nd, and then we meet again on March 22nd.
We can put it on the agenda, and I'll try to meet that as best we can. I did want to bring up, we might want to take that fall update because we're not, somebody called and asked and thought that we had gone to the board with a fall update. So we have not. And is that something, I'm not sure where that item came from.
That item has to do with the well readings from the month of October. So fall, I mean, maybe it's more like winter. But we can come back, I would think, in January with that information.
So it's sort of a groundwater?
Yeah. It's groundwater. Yeah, it has to do. Right.
Oh,
and
okay.
What Mark was indicating is that we would give a presentation to the Board of Supervisors, and it was connected with the LRRP, whether or not we would remain under that based on the well levels.
So then when we kind of went ahead of schedule on that and we decided to stay under the LRRP, then maybe that's not... We're in the LRRP, and we decided to do that back in May, and I think the Board of Supervisors approved it in July. Mm-hmm. So,
I think we're waiting to see what those levels are.
Okay. Probably
so
not
that's
as
what that has
what
to do.
What you're saying is not as important now because we already are in the LRRP. We stayed in it.
But not forever.
Not
so
forever.
I think that's why we were getting the new levels back, and then we would sort of assess because maybe we would have something change with the LRRP depending on what the levels came back with the new readings.
Yep, that is correct. That's what the discussion was focused on.
Oh, okay. I don't have any groundwater information. Sorry. I'll have to sit down now.
Jill, that before you sit down, though, that groundwater information, isn't it? It's online, is it?
Well, funny you should ask. I believe that we have something that is going to be put out to the public, but it's not ready yet.
Okay.
And it's not. It's in the Water Resources Division of Public Works, and I think we're sort of beta testing it, so to speak. But that might be a good agenda item is to see if Ray D'Enzo from Water Resources would come down, and he could sort of showcase this new application. So if you've ever been to, like, slocountywater.org and you see reservoirs, streamfall, precipitation, that new website, there will be a fourth one, is my understanding. And it will say, like, groundwater, I guess. But so he's developing that, and it's getting close to being ready, but not ready for public yet. So,
and just to add to that, there is slocountywater.org, which is our older website that links to the newer website. So the newer website is up and running. I'm not sure on the status of that fourth that Jill just spoke about, but that website address is wr.slocountywater.org.
Okay.
If you can put that in the minutes, then we'll get it or email all of us. That's slocounty. I kind of got addicted to it during when it was raining so much during the winter last winter, and
it gave you so much data.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of coffee shop talk about how much it rained at so-and-so's house, but that thing was really accurate, and it had spots all over the county, exactly how much rain fell in the last 12 hours. It was really amazing.
And it's mobile-friendly, so, I mean, that's what's so addicting about it. If you have your phone with you, constantly checking that website.
Yeah. Thanks, Jill.
Sure. Any other questions? Okay.
Right, Andrea, we don't have any action items.
No action items to discuss tonight.
All right. So is there any other agenda items? We should probably backtrack on that. So we're leaving the Lopez Lake Safe Yield on for future.
Yes.
The follow-up date to the Board of Supervisors is still something we want to...
Yeah, I'll have a chat with Ray D'Anzo from Water Resources and see... when he'll have that information.
Maybe we can call it winter. We could change it to winter.
So if it stays on here, I'll call it winter, or I'll move it up so we actually discuss it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You might want to put something on there that, I don't know, if you weren't at this meeting, you wouldn't know that had anything to do with wells. So you're talking about well monitoring, correct?
Yeah, groundwater levels.
Groundwater monitoring or something like that.
I'll clarify that.
And then we just mentioned about this new update to the website. Is that something that we want to add to the future agenda items?
Sure. And that could be one item. You know, we could have water resources staff come and talk about the groundwater levels and then demonstrate how to find that information on the new website. Mm-hmm. I think that would be great.
Yeah, perfect. Committee members, any other future agenda items that you'd like to see? Mm-mm. Okay. How about any closing comments? Anybody have anything? No?
No.
Okay. Anybody from the public? All right. Thank you very much. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.